This is an Alliance podcast.
What up, world?
I was good.
Not much, chilling. Enjoyed our little vacation.
Vacation, quotation marks. Almost was another vacation. But anyway, we're back. But anyway, what's good? It's your girl, Sky. East Point born. Atlanta bred. Southern California warm and fed.
Okay.
Basically, I'm now in the Wild Wild West. Where people say it's the best, but whatever. People be obsessing in their stress. I'm just playing. I'm making up words. Anyway, I'm with the homie.
What's up, y'all? It's Silves from VA all day, you know, two up, two down. Repping the 804, where the tea is extra sweet. And now I'm living in the middle of a wheat field. Literally a wheat field. So, yes. but we are Shea Butter. FC.
I thought I had lentils. Okay, I'm back.
We're very earthy here.
but yeah. We, like she said, we are Shea Butter FC, a podcast featuring two Black women's perspective on soccer, football, and everything in between.
Delivering content with soul and seasoning that'll moisturize your skin,
lay your edges,
and deepen your love for all things Black women.
And what was happening this week, though?
So this week, we're going to talk about this week's games in the NWSL and bring to you a new segment, SBFC Superlatives.
And then we're going to talk about the Liga MX Femenil, the Mexican version of the NWSL, so to speak, in the final between Tigres and Chivas.
Hey. And... finally, we will get into our hits and riffs and rants and raves for the week. So let's kick it off with segment one, NWSL games.
Oh, there are a few this week. So let's get into it.
Everyone played. So
the first one was Chicago Red Stars versus the North Carolina underdog Courage.
Yes. The real football team. All right.
Oh, yeah, the real football team. Well, the real football team caught that L.
Amen.
And they lost 1-0.
And it honestly could have been 3 or 4-0.
It could have been 5. That was a situation.
So North Carolina played the 4-2-2 or 4-diamond-2, whatever you want to call it. They probably should not have played that formation.
Not at all.
Chicago played the 4-2-3-1 and gave North Carolina that work. So watching this in real time, at no point did Chicago look like they were worried.
Not at all.
About losing this game, because Moses parted the midfield for Chicago, because North Carolina couldn't stop a nosebleed.
Not at all.
I don't know if I've seen Mal Pugh run that freely in her entire career.
That might be because of the 4-2-2 situation, that they was just running all through that 4-2-2.
That's not a good defensive setup for North Carolina. So I will say a few things. One, are they calling Abby Dahlkemper right now?
They got to call her. Because, I mean, even with Sam Ewing back, that didn't matter.
No,
because that whole formation, I guess, because they were like, well, we're going to attack and then we're going to just the defense going to be vibes or something. Like, no, it just got ate up because we're forgetting Chicago now, unlike back in the day in the Kristen Press years, early Sam Kerr years, where the midfield situation was shaky.
Yeah,
it is now very solid.
Very much so, despite missing Yuki, a certain midfielder.
Yeah.
And Yuki. I forgot they traded Yuki. And yo, props to, I know Morgan Gautreaux is one of the midfielders. I forget who the other one was, but they were just shutting everything now.
Like, it was just stop.
North Carolina couldn't
Vanessa
breathe.
Vanessa DiBernardo.
Bernardo, thank you.
Yeah, like they were.
They had it.
That was it. There was nothing coming through. It was just like, you see the ball appear in the midfield and then go back towards wherever Chicago was.
It was one-way traffic, particularly in the first half. North Carolina had a few moments in the second half, but at no point did I think they had like one shot on goal, which has never really happened to them. But like at no point did they seem like a threat. Chicago's biggest issue is they can't finish.
Right.
If they had a finisher, they'd be able to give the Portland's and we'll get to OL. The teams like that a run for their money, and they still might. And we'll talk about that Chicago defense in a little bit. But man, if I'm Vlacco, Sarah Gordon and Casey Kruger looking mighty good right now. That's all.
Yeah, they're very good. They like effectively shut that down. Like they shut down Lynn Williams, Davinia. Effectively, what is Sam Ewis when she can't attack? Jessica McDonald.
Yeah.
Who am I missing?
I think they bought in the other Williams. They bought in
everybody.
They shut down Nisa Sullivan. Like it didn't matter.
It was just like doop doop doop. Stop stop stop. And then even there was a segment where they were trying to like cut through. You thought they were going to have like a shot on goal. Mm-mm. And then Tierna Davidson. Well, I guess between Tierna and Sarah, they came and shut that all the way down. And Tierna just slid through in front of Alyssa. It kicked that thing out the box, and it was like, well,
right. And oh, by the way, you have a listener back there just in case you need to save a shot.
Right.
That Chicago defense is very good. It's really good.
It's really, really good.
Like I said, if they can finish, if Kalia, who was having her time on the ball and does really good back to goal hold up play. It was just able to pivot out and pass it to whoever she wanted or take a shot.
Right.
Pretty much any time. But if she and Mal in particular can finish, or if they want to bring in a striker, perhaps, I don't know. It's a lot of them out there.
Yeah, but a lot of them.
That's for next week. if they can turn on the goal scoring, they're going to be a problem. They're not going to be an easy out at all. So, yeah, I don't know what the fix is. I think for North Carolina, a defensive midfielder would probably help them.
Or you have to call Abby.
Yeah, they miss Abby Dolan. Like they genuinely, because she cut, even if you, so North Carolina hasn't really played with a defensive mid, but if you have Abby Dahlkemper back there, she can just cover up.
Right.
Most things, right? So, and Ursic isn't bad, but she ain't Abby Dahlkemper. So, shows. Between her and Crystal being gone, it shows. Yeah,
you got to figure that out, because when you play a team, because North Carolina, they can get in playoffs.
Yeah,
I mean, I think currently they're barely. But I mean, who you if you're trying to actually get into the championship game, you're gonna have to beat a Portland.
Yeah.
You're gonna have to beat a Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
You're gonna have to beat a Gotham, and then we might as well get into it. You're gonna have to beat the Gotham or the OL Reigns that are stacked.
Exactly, and some of them aren't finished being stacked yet.
Yeah,
Paul Riley did call them the underdogs. I will never subscribe to that, but
he's right.
This ain't the same courage we're used to that won back to back. Like,
well, they really don't have to dig, and they underdog. They're going to have to dig in.
I don't think they'll be defending champions, is all I'm saying. but maybe they'll get, you know, they'll acquire pieces or do something else. So we'll see what that looks like. But yeah, let's get into that game that came after the Gotham.
Mm-hmm.
And my OL reign. Okay.
So they caught that L.
They did.
They caught that L 1-0.
I don't know how for the past two games we have not gotten the ball in the net.
That should be two W's, by the way.
Easily. To Gotham's credit, they stepped up on defense when they needed to. Yep. And they were missing Estelle, so that wasn't their best defensive back line.
What was they running before we get into your essay?
They were running a 4-2-3-1. So they had Midge out on, and it, well, first they had Midge and Iffy on at the same time, which I don't think they've done yet this season. Was smart to do it because it worked for them. Midge got to run pretty freely.
Before we analyze, and what was your team doing?
Same 4-2-3-1. They tried Pruitt up top this time. They had Roosevelt as a 10. you know, that made my skin glisten a little bit. And she was, those runs she was making, whoo, I was like, I don't think anybody's stopping that once we figure out how to get everybody to play together.
Right.
And once we start scoring, hopefully once we get one goal in, we'll get like 50. But right. Yeah, I think I heard Courtney, shout out, describe Gotham's defense as bend but don't break. So far, that's worked for them. They also have a ridiculous backup goalkeeper in Didi Harrisich.
Yeah, she's bomb.
Who's definitely going to get plucked in the expansion draft.
Yep. Come to Angel City.
Yeah, yeah, she might. She's very good. And if she was behind anybody else besides Caitlin Sheridan, she'd probably be a star.
Right.
But yeah, if he had herself a game. So she scored the game-winning goal on a header and missed a fat chance. Like, yes. Could have had a brace. Missed right. a fat chance. Not too long after that. If we could just do away with goalposts, that would be super helpful.
Yeah, I mean, because Megan had one.
Yeah.
Megan had a... Actually, wait. I said it on the line, on the Twitters. If Alex Morgan had a goal last week, Megan Rapinoe had a goal.
Oh.
It was the same thing.
Oh, the goal that wasn't a goal?
Yeah, the goal that wasn't a goal. So Megan had a similar kind of situation. I was like, that's a goal.
Might as well be. You got to be consistent, right?
Yeah. But I mean... Yeah, Megan missed a chance. Rose missed a chance.
Yeah.
Z missed one. Everybody.
Z missed one. Yeah.
It was just like the goals aren't.
Sophia like, just whiffed on like a cross that was right there on her. All she had to do was touch
it. Oh, yes. I forgot. Sophia missed
one.
That should have been a goal. I forgot.
Just, we couldn't buy a goal. Like, it's been 2 weeks in a row, right? The only goal we scored was the own goal last week against the Spirit.
Yeah.
What was terrifying about Rain is that they have all this talent right now, and more is coming.
Right.
Marzan and Buhadi, I think, are officially here in the States. Lissa May is on her way. And
a lot of cook.
Happy Monday. We got a lot of cook. On a 3-year contract, by the way. So she is not a short-term signing. And she very much shores up our defense, and that lets Madison Hammond and Barnsley play in their more natural positions.
Right.
And if you've not had a chance to watch Alana Cook play defense, treat yourself this summer once she starts playing. She's one of the best young defenders in the world.
Yeah, because Barnsley was getting cooked.
Yeah. I mean, that's fair. She was.
She's getting cooked.
It happens to the best of us. I mean, she either was going to be on Iffy or Midge, and that was never going to go.
Yeah.
The way it needed to, and she
but no more. She don't have to do that no more because
no, that's why you go get. I think they saw that and they were like, let's go get. I just asked for a competent defender. I didn't think we were gonna get Alana Cook.
Yeah.
So there ain't gonna be a lot more of that. So yeah, once that back line figures it out and Quinn, they'll be back to post, international friendlies. That back line is shoring itself up. We're going to have to roll with Sarah as goalkeeper.
It's a five because your midfield is going to make sure nothing else gets past that. And then
That's fair.
You just need your front line to get it together and finish.
Yeah, we just need some finishers.
And they need some mentorship. And we'll talk about that next week, though.
Yeah, we'll talk about that. I mean, Lisa May coming in certainly helps with that. But there are some other strikers out there.
I would make the call.
They don't have a team.
I would make the call. Yeah.
Like you said, next week we'll get diabolical with it. Staying in the Pacific Northwest, the last game of Saturday was Portland versus Rossing. I was told Jorian Bachman says she hates Rossing, but
it's not Rossing, it's Racing.
It's Racing.
Rossing
sounds fancy though. This was another beat them down, not as bad as Louisville's last game.
It was a welcome to the league.
It was a humbling game on the road for a young team.
Yeah.
I think they got scored on pretty early.
Yeah.
That first goal came pretty early.
It was like, whoop.
And from Angela Salem, who never scores. So,
right.
And it was a pretty darn good goal from outside the box. She hit it true. The fun thing about this game, Crystal Dunn was on the front line.
Yep.
Free Crystal.
Crystal was free and they was balling.
Yes. So you had, I think, Crystal Dunn, Simone Charlie, and Morgan Weaver up top. That's fun for people.
Yeah.
Portland has a very deep bench, despite missing players. They were just able to do whatever they wanted to do.
Just rotating people, just playing people, just starters, rolling people nonchalantly out.
Yeah, and despite it being 3-0, honestly, it could have been a lot worse. Michelle Bates has stood on her head.
She is balling.
Yeah, she stood on her head for most of this match. A few things I think we observed about Louisville. So I think they have an identity. I think they have a solid game plan. I think that back line is good. If you follow me on Twitter at all, you know I think the world of Emily Fox. I think she has a great, her ceiling is very high. And I think her skill set is great. She just got to be a pro for a little bit longer. But she'll be a mainstay on that national team. Of that, I have no doubt. But Louisville, one, they need a midfield.
Yes, they need midfield badly.
Which speculation is Nadia Nadim's coming. We'll see how that goes. That will help.
I mean, they would have, I mean, there's a whole rant I have on that. If they would have did what they needed to do,
yeah,
they could have had a midfield. They'd be fine.
They might be loaded if they hit, handle some things better. But they are an expansion side, so like, okay,
fine. But they also need to, they need to deal with their attack because they're having identity crosses up atop. I mean, cool, Yuki and Savannah were moving around and doing their thing from the midfield, but the attack situation, it's a noticeable change, too many games that... Mm. It's time to come to the realization you need to start Jorian Bakum with
Amina Ekic.
With Amina Ekic. Like,
I think at this point, if they're going to be a young team, you might as well let them play, right? Like, and let them grow into the game and play with each other and develop the chemistry. I think at this point, they should play with CeCe Kaiser. Having said that, Ebony Salmon is also now stateside. And will likely start playing post international break. So that's a fun, like Bakum, Salmon, and Ekic is a fun young attack, right? Like that could be really fun for them. They're all very different players, but if they can figure it out together, you could have that for a while. I don't know if Ebony Salmon's staying or not. I think she is, right? Was that a multi-year contract she signed or is it?
Yeah, it's just a multi-year. It's just like two or three.
So, years. I mean, that's a really young and fun front line that you could have there. You just got to be able to coach young players, but they have potential. So at this point, I would see what it looks like, particularly because Louisville's not going to take a big hit once the Olympics come around. You can pretty much play around with that however you want. So that would be my suggestion. But I don't think Louisville's going to finish like bottom of the table. I think they'll be fine. They're just young and trying to figure things out. But yeah, Portland looks like what we thought Portland would look like after those few losses. So that's okay. Oil Reign's loading up to handle that. So
So to the next game, the last game was the Washington Spirit versus Orlando Pride. Yeah. And it was 1-1 draw. And it was super hot, super hot game in DC. It was like 90 something degrees and it looked like it. They had mad hydration breaks.
Yeah.
But it was almost like a brawl. Orlando's D, pretty good.
It Alan is. Krieger
is still pretty good.
Like they kept talking about, and I know there are numbers. How I feel about the Washington backlash. I feel like people know at this point. Though they weren't terrible, and Kelly O'Hare was definitely getting forward. More on her in a minute, though.
Yeah.
But I still thought the best defender of the day was Allie Krieger. Like, Allie Krieger's still very good.
Right.
She's still very good. Like, the engine on that woman and the skill set on that woman is ridiculous. Like, she's my age and still out here balling. I will say Orlando definitely missed Sid LaRue, who didn't even travel to the game. It was very evident. She is the playmaker. She is the engine on that front line.
Yep. And she be playing defense too.
Yeah, and she's a really good defender as a forward, right? Like she's dug into that part of her game to really help make herself stand out. But she's the one making those full sprint runs forward. She's the one helping spring attack. Even though she's not quote unquote leading the line. I think that her presence was missed, right? It was pretty noticeable. Orlando still created some chances, but that defense had to work a lot harder in this match. And I think the opposite is true kind of Washington, right? Like that back line's kind of sort of starting to figure it out, though. Free Teagan McGrady, him. Yes. Like kind of sort of, they had a decent game plan. I think part of it was there was no Sid LaRue to really kind of wreck that back line.
But still,
like
they did in the Challenge Cup. But I mean, still, you had people still running through Wild and Free. It just was because you were missing Sid that it was like the timing was off.
Yeah.
So you had Martin making the passes that Sid had been making, or Alex having to run in the spots that Sid was making, or waiting for things to appear. And normally she was running in the box with Sydney, but it was all knocked off because Sydney wasn't there. So still, if Sydney LaRue's playing, this game is probably straight out win for Orlando.
Yeah, I think Orlando wins the game.
And they probably get in a fight.
Yeah, this game had some energy. I think the Heat did not help at all. But I think Washington's front line is starting to figure it out. I think Hatch, Sanchez, Rodman is probably Richie Burke's best three up front. Ashley Hatch scored the header. I will also mention Washington's defense is why Orlando got that goal. So Marta picks off a really bad pass. She still has to pick it out of the air. And honestly, not a lot of other players outside of Marta probably snag that out or think to snag that out of the air the way she did. And she gets it to Korniak, who I think I asked on Twitter, like, do we know what her ceiling is? Because that's a very intriguing player to me. I'm not going to lie to you. She doesn't shoot very pretty. Like, that shot was awkward.
But it went in, right?
So it doesn't have to look pretty if you get it in. But she's really good on the ball for somebody that tall. And I mean, a very obvious target, particularly on set pieces. But like she's growing. Like she's definitely, you can see the market improvement in her just from the Challenge Cup to now. But they were able to take advantage of that defensive lapse and get the tying goal. We had
Marta and Kelly O'Hara had some words.
Which, like, I know Kelly O'Hara is tough, but that's Marta. Like, yeah, I wouldn't fight Marta.
Yeah. Like, and like the first, what she got mad about is because Marta was mad because basically Kelly had some words after she got took to the ground.
Yes.
I mean, it was Peterson, I think, somebody, or Tim Rick, had took her to the ground. And so she was pissed off because she was on the ground. And then she had some words, and Marta was effectively, I think she probably said, you was flopping, get your ass up. And then, you know, Kelly had some words. And then later, Kelly got blessed.
Accidentally.
Accidentally blessed in the face.
It was an accident.
It was an accident. But yeah, they got
it happened to be perfectly aimed at her, like, nose.
Yeah. And then there was another part of the game where Trinity got taken to the ground, like straight up was about to get thrown to the ground on by Orlando player. And Trinity ended up like landed on her on the back. And we'll talk about that like in a second. But yeah, this game was pretty hostile. I mean, Emily had some words with Alex Morgan. It was like a lot of stuff going on.
Yeah.
Back and forth. That at some point I think they play each other two more times. Is going to reach a point where there may be a brawl in DC or Orlando or both. Because
I mean, we might be thinking about it during the Olympics. If
that too.
Because we got a few people that got to play each other. So,
Well,
Martin, I think that one's going to be spicy pretty much the whole season. So, but yeah. And then the last game, we really did try to do a segment on it. Houston and Kansas City played each other at the same time as Washington and Orlando. That match ended 1-0 in favor of Houston, who scored like 70 and something minute header.
Super late goal.
Kansas City did score. It was called back for offsides. That Houston goalie comes way too high off her line, in my opinion, but I've been told I'm wrong, so Cool.
That's y'all's backup goalkeeper, though.
Who's backup goalkeeper?
It's somebody's backup goalkeeper, not mine. But
okay. Not the national team. Not when Adrianna French and Ashlyn Harris existed.
Exactly. Okay. I know.
Even Aubrey. Okay. Everybody. But okay. I've been every week. They tell me I'm wrong. And every week I wait to be proven wrong. Lastly, just circling back quickly to that Washington Orlando game, I just wanted to give a quick shout out to the fam, the homie Andre from Diaspora United, who got to interview or ask Andy Sullivan a question about what it means to kneel. Because if you do not know, they don't often show the pregame. Andy Sullivan was the only Washington Spirit player to kneel while the rest of her team stood during the national anthem. And her response was incredibly thoughtful. I'm going to be very honest with you, in terms of white players, that might be the most thoughtful answer I've heard. I thought it was just really honest, and she was able to, you know, speak to it not making her comfortable. She prefaced her answer with like, if I get it wrong, please call me out. And I retweeted it, and I know a bunch of people did too on the timeline. But I just thought, oh, this is what it looks like when you take the time to ask that question. And this is also what it looks like when you hire Black journalists. So let's do that. But yeah, that was my circle back. But yeah, I think that's it for the actual matches. And now we're going to get into some superlatives.
Yep. So our Shea Butter, because we've been having these, you know, you see player in a match, woman in a match. We're going to say player in a match.
Player, yeah.
Because we're actually a inclusive podcast.
We certainly try to be, yes.
We're going to get the superlatives of the week because we got like a whole dictionary of terms and we just need to reinforce it and then give props as due.
Absolutely.
All day.
So I'll get us started. So our Shea Butter Bomb, golazos for Black people. And you know, there's Big Ballin', there's SOS, there's the different kinds of songs. If you want to take a look back, I think it's episode 2 when we explain some of that. But our Shea Butter Bomb goes to Ifi Onamanu. Ifioma Onamanu, say her whole name that her mama gave her. who scored the game-winning header for Gotham. And honorable mention, though she's not a direct member of the delegation, we wanted to shout out Angela Salem, who hit an absolute bomb. And like we said, does not score very often. So we just wanted to tell her, we see you.
Yeah, that was a good goal.
You want to do the next one?
So the Shea Butter mic check is basically, if you didn't know, a mic check when you like attempt to shoot.
Yeah.
May not hit, but you got the audacity to kick that attempt at a goal. Mm-hmm. Of course, those to the one of the all-stars, one of the GOATs, the Hall of Famers in the Shea Butter Hall of Fame.
Yes.
Is she Crystal Dunn?
Yes.
She did that from outside the box. Quite a few times. I mean, Michelle Bados had to stand on her head. And Crystal Dunn did that. She had that mic check of the week.
She did. I think I typed that had gone in. I was just like, my soul would have ascended.
Yeah.
Our dime of the week, and that's assist, just to refresh your memory. Marta, the GOAT, was the person who, like I said, snagged that ball from a bad defensive mistake and dimed it very, very lovely to Taylor Korniak, who scored the game-tying goal. Mm-hmm. For the Orlando, I almost said Magic, and that's not who they are. The Orlando Pride. I won't put that on them. They win more. So, yes. So Marta is always Miss Black Cleats herself. Got that in. So we wanted to give a shout out to her.
Okay. So then the all brick performance, basically. Oh, and bricks, as in the Shea Butter bricks, as in you are the defensive wall of greatness and nothing passes through. It's gotta go to the homies at the Chicago Red Stars. What's good, Sarah? Yes. What's good, Casey? Y'all out here balling, should be on the national team. I'll talk about that later.
Yeah.
But they did that. They shut that down. They shut down some of the Shea Butter Stars that are on the NC Courage. Like,
yes.
They was out here this weekend, so they got to get props for this week.
Absolutely. Those are grown women playing defense for Chicago, that's all I'm going to say. Next is our Shea Butter and One mixtape reel of the week. So, you know, we love some audacity, some disrespect. We love when people hit the ground or trip up over their feet a little bit.
Get embarrassed.
Yeah, it's a little bit of embarrassment. If you've never seen the And One mixtape, go take a look. That's what we mean. That goes to, and honestly, this could probably be every week, Trinity Rodman.
Yep.
She hit a spin, got the ball off the defender, kept the ball, made a run, passed it off. It didn't result in a goal. I don't know if it's because people didn't. I can't remember. First of all, I think she did multiple things this game.
Well, she did the spin in both directions multiple times.
Yeah.
And then she was going in different directions. She went across the pitch. She went like horizontal, and then she went vertical. Yes. Like, she did this crazy spin move she's decided to whip out. And then she almost scored this crazy goal.
Yes.
Kelly O'Hara, actually, from a crazy attempt at an assist. But even what she did to get open to almost score that,
yeah,
Howell highlight mixtape reel. So we see you.
I mean, like I said, every week, and just her ability every week to fix something and then add something to her game. She is 18. I just wanted to, or she might be 19. I think she turned 19.
She's 19.
Just 19. So, but like, for such a young player, her ability to learn quickly with that, like with the God-given gifts that she has, is ridiculous. I say it every week. She's gonna be one of the greats.
It's all did for the Shea Butter heat check of the week. Abby Smith. For checking Shea Groom. That should have been a yellow card. Shea was acting extra in the box after she literally threw Kristen Edmonds on the ground, who was in pain.
Yeah.
Abby Smith was trying to let her know that ain't what we doing. And standing up like a goalkeeper should, a defender should.
Yes.
Letting y'all know, defenders and goalkeepers, that's how you behave.
Yeah.
In the box. Get that red card. Get that yellow card.
Gotta protect your people. Gotta protect your people.
Other also goes to Trinity too, for bodying Orlando defender who was,
I think it was Peterson.
Yeah, Peterson was trying to take her down, and then Trinity, to protect herself, she actually hooked back on her and then ended up slamming into her shoulder. And so old girl was on the ground, and the ref just looked at her and had a yellow card, like, girl, get up.
Yeah.
And Trinity just walked on. And I see Trinity.
The Orlando player, Peterson, got the card because, it was definitely, you're allowed to protect yourself in that. And the heat check has now been Shea Groom twice, right? It was Sarah Gordon in the Challenge Cup. And it was Abby Smith this week. Those are going to accumulate. It's going to be very interesting as the season goes along.
Yeah.
And then our last one is our SBFC Player of the Week. And we did what the league did not and gave it to Mallory Pugh. So, who is back, ladies and gentlemen, and siblings, sorry. Mal Pugh's back. So do with that what you will. She's playing exceptionally well. Like I said, the last thing to come is the finishing. And once that's there,
it's on.
It's on. She's back, back. On multiple teams. Again, do with that what you will.
Yeah.
That's it for the NWSL games. Let's get into quickly our next section, which we're going to recap Liga MX Femenil, the final between our team,
Tigres, the winners,
and Chivas.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, you gave away the plot.
Tigres won on aggregate 7-4.
Yes.
If y'all didn't know and didn't see, Tigres dominated this game, unlike the first leg where it was a draw.
It was a draw.
That still was like really stressful. It was a really stressful game. Tigres dominated, although she just had their chances. Stephanie Mayor was on another level, was balling out of control. She was trying to fight, but like this game, it was like over. Take that back. These games are never over.
I'm still nervous.
But it got ugly real quickly. Like, it was like they were digging out of the, they were having to dig because it was 3-0.
3-0 within like 20 minutes, something.
Yeah. It was crazy. Obscene.
Yeah. So Chivas fought back. And honestly, we only root against Chivas when they play Tigres. We got a lot of Chivas homies. They didn't really talk to us that day, but we cool again.
Yeah.
But they do. They've got some great players, and they fought. And like you said, even though we were up 3-0, I was certainly nervous.
Because they
can get that back. Many goals in this league easily. Right.
And they started coming back. They were like crazy goals. Like, all the goals were crazy.
Yes,
they were all like crazy, beautiful goals. either Galazzo's or 50 billion people invaded the box. Yes. The goalkeeper thought they had a save, but then it was hitting the box.
Yeah.
I mean, hell, they even scored. Chivas scored at the last minute, right as the game was ending.
Yeah.
On a crazy thing that it had it been closer in the aggregate, you know, we all would have been on the floor.
Exactly. We'd have been very nervous. And I mean, that is par for the course in this league. It's a full game, right? Like, you can't rest. You can't really feel comfortable just because goals get scored at any time. And the talent in this league is really, really good. Props to the Mexican Federation for, like, making a league specifically to build their women's soccer players up, both as individuals and for their national team, which I keep beating that drum. Mexican national team is coming. And as somebody who's been able to watch some of the league this season, just so y'all know, those players about to get poached. And honestly, some of the European leagues will probably poach.
Right,
and if you take some of those players to Europe, ain't nobody going to be able to defend that. They don't know what to do with that.
So, yeah, it's coming. Hopefully, at some point, we see the All-Star game between the Liga MX Femenil versus the NWSL.
Woo.
And then we do something against the world, like, so that we shut up this foolishness talk about some, oh, they're not as good, or da, 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 da. Like, shut up. Like,
no one loves CONCACAF.
let the women play, let the women CONCACAF club outfits play the European, and then we really see what's good.
Yeah.
And then we just shut all that up. Basically, that was a bomb game. That was fun. Spanish commentating is superior, elite. Like, they was lit. It was fun hearing them talk.
Yes.
Like, I understand Spanish well enough. They was like,
yeah,
same. You could tell who was Chivas fans, who was Tigres fans. And then even if they had no interest in they didn't care which team won, like, total excitement. I wish our United States games had the same kind of commentating. Where it's like, just watch the game and talk about what's happening in the game and, like, yell and lose your freaking mind. Like, one lady had almost lost her voice before the end of the first half because she was yelling, because I think she was a Chivas fan.
Yeah.
And, like, just was upset, but then was all excited. But, like, it's like, could we have that same kind of passion where you're actually genuinely watching the game and commenting on what's happening in the game and the different runs being made, or, like, laughing because the ref was saying all kinds of stuff, you know. I saw you out there, ref. But you had all kinds of stuff happening, and, like, actually commenting on what you see versus going, "Oh, this is my homie."
Yeah,
this is a mom.
I think. I think, as we touched on in the crossover episode, right? Like, it's just a different mindset. And yeah, I think American sports commentary in general lacks for a lot of reasons, but specifically for soccer. And we can talk about it every week. I don't have it to talk about it every week.
But right.
There were some improvements this week, but yeah, there's still work to be done. And again, you could also diversify your commentary teams, and that probably would go a long way. But with that, let's take a break.
Yeah, we got to get a break. So that's it for this week's games. And then talking about Liga MX Femenil. Make sure y'all check them out next season when they get popping. And hopefully we see them play a team, like, or a whole league.
Yeah.
What's good, Gotham FC? retweeting my tweet.
Yeah.
But when we come back, we're going to talk about the hits and riffs. And riffs and the rants and raves of the week. And then we out. We'll be back, though.
Which Doritos flavor is the best flavor? It's a wild ride on the Night to Say Nisa, available on the Protagonist podcast feed wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, listeners? It's your girl Silves, and we are back, and we are gonna jump into our hits and riffs for the week. I guess I will go ahead and get us started. Mm-hmm. So We are recording this on a Monday, happens to be the 7th, which is the birthday of one of the greatest of all time to do it, Mr. Prince Rogers Nelson himself. May he continue to rest in peace, the purple one. So for me, I decided that my throwback songs would be Prince songs today. So my turn up is going to be Let's Go Crazy.
Wow.
And my Quiet Storm might be my favorite Prince slow jam. Underappreciated. The Beautiful Ones, which was also remade by Mariah Carey and Drew Hill. I think it's on her Butterfly album, I want to say.
Wow.
I know. I came with some musical knowledge today. I really love that song though. But you know, shout out to Prince. I could listen to Prince pretty much all day, every day. I mean, he's one of the greatest musicians this country's produced. So that's my homage to the king himself.
Mm-hmm.
What you got? Oh,
my yesterday turn up, I heard it in the gym because I'm back in the gym because I'm okay. Sexy for the summer, for the hot girl summer.
All right.
I'm out here in the world. It was, I chuckled when it came on and I was like, yo, that was a banger. I had no business listening to this thing when I was in middle school, playing it on the CD single that I got from Peppermint Music.
Wow.
We Be Clubbing by Ice Cube. We Be Clubbing. Yay, yay. The Players Club anthem.
Yes.
First of all, I had no business watching that movie either.
I mean, none of us did.
But that was real. And no lie, that is real vibes. If you didn't know about the performance arts outfits, yes, across the world, particularly in Atlanta. But We Be Clubbing, that was my jam. I could karaoke that. Everybody, I was like, We Be Clubbing.
We Be Clubbing.
We Be Clubbing.
Sorry. Oh, I see.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Do. Okay. That had me hype in the gym. And then my yesterday Quiet Storm. It's Softly Softly. I don't know how to just type softly, but Softly Softly by Sweetback featuring Maxwell. It's all, if y'all didn't know, Sweetback is the band that actually is Sade Adu's band. Mm-hmm. Actually, oh snap, that was actually gonna be my Quiet Storm. I had it on another something. No, yeah. That's something else. But yeah. Sade's band. It's actually, they call themselves Sweetback, but they also are the band for Maxwell. So people don't know that.
Fun fact, Maxwell is my birthday twin. So that's fun.
Wow.
Hey, he's good. Like, I got to claim it when I can. But yeah, no, you're right. Sweetback is amazing. You know, like you said, they back one Miss Helen Falasade Adu, who wow. We also are, hey, that's love of my life.
Okay, whoa, fall back. But so yeah. Oh, before we leave this, so Softly Softly is like a bomb, beautiful, beautiful song. Go get blessed by that. Go listen to it.
Yeah.
Who's your today?
So my today, my turn up is Fine Ass. That's a ZZ by Chameleon. Not Chameleon, who is a rapper back in the day. This is a woman who is a rapper. And I chose this song because it is the intro for this season of A Black Lady Sketch Show, which I started marathoning. So it was in my head, but I liked it. I kept bouncing to it. So I was like, I'm gonna pick that one. But shout out to Chameleon and to A Black Lady Sketch Show, which was renewed for season 3. It makes both of us laugh. So we're here for Black excellence. And then my Quiet Storm, as always, is not quite new, but just sticking with the Prince theme, a lesser known song is called You Make My Sunshine, and it's Prince and Angie Stone.
Mm.
Yeah.
I see. So then my turn up for today was two. So Yo Gotti, either Pose or Rake It Up, because again, okay, we back in the summer. So I need to be taking pictures. You need to take pictures of me posing. There's some fan cams out there with Pose that are fine. And okay, the clips, you need to check those out. And then Rake It Up, you know, again, the performance arts of the Pauls anthem, performance arts club situations, you know, with the Pauls.
Yes.
The anthem for Rake It Up. But anyway, no matter how you Rake It Up, even if you got Monopoly bill dollars or napkins at the club turning up, go Rake It Up. Go stack some paper. however you do it, it gets worked on, or it's working on somebody. And then for the Quiet Storm for today, it's an interesting, it's actually a rap song by the late great Nipsey Hussle.
Yeah.
It's called If You Were Mine. And it's he rapping over a sample variation of Cherish the Day by Sade. Oh, wow. Historically, I'd be like, nah, you can't be doing this foolishness. But this is a fire song. It's one of my favorites by him. Rest in peace, dude.
Rest in peace, yeah.
But yeah, check that out if you have it. You can check us out on the playlist. And so with that said, that's the end of the hits of the riffs of the week. So I guess we need to get into these rants and raves.
Yeah, we can. It ain't gonna be too long.
Do yours. Go.
All right. Mine is real simple. I know it started out as a hashtag, like semi-serious. But for real, free Midge, man. Like, like at this point, it doesn't make sense. And yes, I understand why she is put mostly a right back for our national team. She's in camp right now, listed as a right back or outside back. She is a very good defender. She still has room to grow, I think, in that area, particularly on the back line. But she clearly has all of the skill sets. But my goodness, is Midge Purse dangerous on the front line? Like, there isn't actually another player that plays quite like her. Her runs are insane and aggressive and fast, and she's really good with the ball at her feet. Like, yes, I know her tendency is to her right foot, but you also have to stop it, which not a lot of people do, right? I mean, we've said that, you know, Kristen Press cuts back right or left her entire career and it doesn't matter. She still has a bunch of goals, right? So, yeah, I just think Midge Purse is a great playmaker. Every week I'm more with the homie Courtney. Midge is a 10. I would like to see it. But I just think we're doing ourselves a disservice as a national team to not at least see what it looks like on the front line with, say, a Kristen Press and Alex Morgan, or, you know, for future reference, maybe a Kat Macario or someone, or a Trinity Rodman, or even a Ziara King, or hell, a Morgan Weaver, I mean, Ekic, like, I don't care. But she's just too good a playmaker. She's a fairly good goal scorer, right? Like, she's going to take her chances. She's not necessarily a sharpshooter, but she can get it in. And honestly, she's one of, if not the best 1v1 players we have. Like, watching Miz take people on 1v1 is very fun to me. And she should be able and allowed to develop that, right? Because that's a very deadly tool that we have as a national team. I see Gotham, for the most part, playing her up front, though they do drop her back, particularly close to camp, I've noticed. wink, wink, nod, nod. But yeah, I just think free Midge, and if our strategy as a national team is going to be have a bunch of hybrid players, let them actually be hybrid players. You're not a hybrid player if you only ever play on the back line. So Blacko, if you see my Twitter or if you hear this show, let's just see what it looks like, my guy. Let's just see. Free Midge, and I'm very serious. And that's my rant.
Okay. So my rant is short and sweet. Look. So I've seen enough games, and we're very near doing this Olympic roster episode where we may have a guest or two.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about the potential Olympic roster and just go off. But I've seen enough games to see defenders defend and attempt to defend or do something that is defensive, just a bunch of vibes, that we're at a point for the national team. At what point does it take you to bring in the other Black players to be the outside backs or center backs or any back there who are actually defensive players, who, where you can keep Midge free, where you can also free Crystal and let them play? Because Casey Krueger, Sarah Gordon have been balling. You can also add Madison Hammond, Tiki McCrady. Sure. Like there, you've got so many defenders. Kiki Pickett's coming.
Yes.
Naomi Yerma, when she's healthy. You got all these defenders. We don't need to continue doing this foolishness, because we continue allowing people who were doing a lot of vibey non-defending on the field coming to camp, and it's like, why? Because at some point, when do we stop the potential? Heck, even bringing Taylor Smith, bringing anybody, bringing people, it's time to like really change the approach of what we're doing, because I'm tired. Because at least we don't have this happening with the goalkeeper situation too closely, because thank God Adrian is back. But we're sitting out here putting vibes out here on the field that are going to get cooked, that want to fight, that are going to get smoked in the Olympics, that are going to get smoked in the World Cup, that very well probably going to get embarrassed in the send-off series. That it's like, you don't have to be this way. Like, you making Lynn Williams, when Tobin Heath is fully in game fit shape, Tobin Heath have to work ungodly levels of unnecessary because you refuse to bring these Black players in. You're making Kristen Press, if she moves to the right, have to overwork when you do this foolishness. Heck, you're even making Megan Rapinoe having to defend. Like, we don't need to be having to have to do this. If you would just, for the love of God, just bring in these other players.
Right.
But yeah.
Yeah. You mentioned Taylor Smith. One day I'm gonna do a rant on that. But until then, I got a lot of feelings. A lot of feelings. So I feel you.
So did the Rice.
Let's end on a high here. So we have several within the world of soccer and outside of it. We're gonna start with the greatest athlete in the world right now, Simone Biles, who won her 7th U.S. national title doing moves that are named after her. So, I don't know what else one says about Simone Biles. If you don't like Simone Biles, I don't know who you are. Like, I don't know what to do with that.
Just a hater.
Yeah, that's hate. But yeah, props to Simone Biles, always, every day, every week. The GOAT. You want to go next or you want me to run them off?
No, you can run them off.
I got you. Also, shout out to Naomi Osaka, fam. One, she is an owner or investor, I'm not sure, for the North Carolina Courage. So it is a direct tie to the NWSL. But I just want to shout her out for protecting her peace. Because they will try to take it from you, sis. So she knows her body, as Roger Federer said of his. And she just needed a moment. And it became a whole thing. And I think there's deeper conversations to have around sports media and what that looks like and what athletes actually owe you. But at the end of the day, her piece is the most important thing. And she's damn good at tennis, so she can do what she wants. And shout out Coco Gauff, too, who's made it to the quarterfinals. Still a child. So I hope that she's able to protect her piece as well. Again, shout out to Alana Cook, who's coming to my team, coming home. So I'm very excited to get to see her play in person soon. Hopefully, again, you know how we both feel about her. One of the best young defenders in the world. Shout out again to Mallory Pugh, who I think is pretty much all the way back. And then the last two, to the French homies. Also shout out to PSG and Bayern Munich for winning their leagues this past weekend. And that includes, like we said, G1 Arkema, which is the French league. Bunny Shaw won the Golden Boot by one goal over Marie Antoinette Katoto, who could not play. She was hurt. And then Diani won Player of the Year for D1 Arkema. So a lot of Black excellence in France.
Woo!
Yes.
So that's the rise of the week. So that's basically the episode. Next week, even though there's no NWSL matches, there's plenty of international matches to recap.
Yes.
And then we're going to do our top 10 series. We're going to continue it with our hybrids.
Yes.
Which that's going to be wild when we lay out and argue about what is a hybrid, what that means.
We're going to argue.
We're going to argue about it. And then we got some new segments because it's going to be a long week. So this might be a two-parter actually next week. We're going to introduce you our SBFC FIFA for your squad GM style. Well, we're going to effectively be GMs for different teams and different leagues. And next week we're going to kick it off with NWSL. And then we're also going to introduce the SBFC VHS as in videotape.
Teach the kids.
Pay-per-view series where we're going to actually look back, because a lot of people have issues with actually watching game film. We're going to actually look at old film from a variety of players. And our first two players we're going to look at is Kristen Press and Crystal Dunn. And we're going to look at their days because they're all-stars on the pod. But we're going to look back at their days in the NWSL edition of two of their games where they separately balled out. So two games basically where either Kristen balled out for her team with the Chicago Red Stars, Crystal Dunn balled out with either her team with the, at the time, Washington Spirit or North Carolina Courage. And then we're going to look at a game where they played each other. I'm going to try to avoid a particular game, but it looks like it's going to happen.
Yeah.
And you'll see what I'm saying next week. But yeah, if you haven't watched the, hopefully when we talk about these games, you take time to actually watch. We'll probably drop a link maybe earlier in the week so that y'all can look at the games. But you got to watch the, it's one thing to watch them play on a national team.
Yeah.
But the best film you see is when they play in club and understand why they're like loved. Because
why they have GOAT status on our podcast.
Why they got GOAT status. Yeah. Yeah.
Yes, they're both very good. We promise.
Double facts. Yes. And, I just said something that I just typed out. But anyway, and then we're also talk about our hits and roasts and rants and raves of the week. So yeah, that's basically it, Bill.
All right. So y'all know what it is. Until then, stay hydrated.
Stay melanated.
Make sure the Black women in your life are celebrated.
And then make sure them shea butter bombs are always elevated. And be blessed, stay stressless, and have a good week.
Peace out, everybody. We'll see y'all next week.